Let's get to George Baburas, Executive Director and Head of Research at K2 Asset Management in our Singapore studio. George, great to have you with us. So we've been posing on the Markets Live blog, you know, if there are any alternatives to the dollar. Well, this morning there appear to be, and it brings us to the story of the advance by the Ukraine military. I can't read too much into it, but my gosh, if this led to some sort of settlement talks between Russia and Ukraine, that could bode well for the future. I'm getting excited at the thought. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'm looking at the same headlines as you sort of highlighted, and that is a left field geopolitical tailwind without a doubt. But front and center, the US dollar strength is, I think, even those people that didn't believe it last year, they can see it, notwithstanding what you've just said on the geopolitical, that it's got so much certainty and predictability relative to other regions in the world right across the capital structure when you're investing, that while the strength won't continue at this rate, you'd suspect it would stay to these levels for a little bit longer. But notwithstanding, again, what you've just said, that would be very a big positive tailwind for Europe that's in the world of pain.
So a stronger dollar, what about in terms of what other kind of moves we're going to see in risk assets this week as we await the key inflation print?
Yeah, so, like most people, I'll put my hand up, Juliet, and say it would be a reasonable statement to say that we are peak inflation in the US, and that's tongue-in-cheek, of course, we are. But it's about the way the unit costs feed into the core inflation measures. Can't see it getting down to that 2-3% band anytime soon, unfortunately. But it'll be positive news and the headline. Sentiment is waning, particularly on the retail investor side. Sentiment on the institutional side is a bit more proactive. But it'll be a positive news event this week. Notwithstanding, again, I'm using that word a lot, 75 basis points is a lock for this month. And those people that are trying to create a narrative that that's not going to happen, I don't think that's quite right. They've got plenty of opportunity just to deliver the 75, then do a 50, and then 25, going to that order. And I think that's available, and they should go down that pathway.
And that gets you right up to 4% on the Fed funds rate. And we don't have to see inflation at 2-3% for markets to really stand up and pay attention, right, George? I mean, if you start to see inflation coming down and investors sense that, you know, this will take some time, but it's happening at a time when the Fed is probably maxed out up around 4% or so, markets might rally.
Spot on. And that's it, rallying and restrictive, knowing that it's increasing at a decreasing rate. Again, back to basics, next rate move, we go into official tight monetary restrictive levels, and then a couple of more moves to get to that 4-4 handle. And in that narrative that you've just said, with minimal rate rises in 23, just holding, that's a good rally. Multiples are reasonable. They're not cheap. They're not expensive. They're reasonable. High yield is in high demand in the short duration. But those two asset classes, just naming two of many, would rally quite strongly on that narrative.
What's your outlook for Asia when we're starting to see the latter part of the year coming in? And of course, that dollar strength also complicates things here too.
Yeah, blimey, it does complicate things. And it's complicated things. You know, again, we don't tend to use March 21. It's been so difficult because what's going on in China, and it just continues to have more pain delivered to itself, and so therefore we just look at the other side of the Congress, and we believe a bit of clarity for 5 years, there'll be much more coordinated, innovative fiscal stimulus that can actually work with the PBOC. But not good news coming out of there, hence valuations are very, very cheap. Nevertheless, we still underweight that area where we traditionally would be overweight. But Alibaba and JD are just two that we would have picked up in that late June quarter sell-off. But a world of pain still to be delivered. Let's just see, get the other side of this party Congress and try and get some certainty and to see what they're going to do for the years ahead to deal with this economic destruction of that's been delivered through that economy.
Let's pick up on what you were talking about with the China COVID zero policy or dynamic zero. We're looking ahead at the Party Congress to see whether or not that is dropped or not. If it is, do things change materially from there? And I guess what assets would you be looking at in China that are potentially undervalued at the moment?
Yeah, $1 million question, Juliet. But quite clearly, post the Congress, expectation for more certainty from a low base. That's a pretty reasonable statement. And then basically go across the board, and everything is discounted in China, again, because of Beijing's policy pivot in March 21 that has really confused the West in trying to acquire and buy future earnings. So there's so many opportunities in mainland China, but obviously the domestic demand, the more consumption expectation for the decade ahead, there's just so much upside. But right across the board, Julia, there's just discounts for what's been going on and the disappointment. So obviously, you know, the 5.5 was never going to happen from a year ago, but obviously now we're getting that 3.5, possibly a 2 handle. So they've really got to turn it around for this calendar year and get those upgrades for 23 and then 24 and beyond. But again, the certainty from Party Congress creates opportunity. The more opportunity and certainty they can create for investors, they need capital. It is finite still. There's opportunities right across the board for mainland China, staying away from property still, as that destruction is working through the system until the PBOC come up with some type of broad-based solution. But a bad bank perhaps can be part of that narrative. But it's discounted throughout for many, many reasons.
You can flip a switch on dynamic zero, but you can't flip a switch on the Chinese property crisis. Is that something that they're going to be suffering the consequences from that for years to come?
You're spot on. And really looking for a new quote, a Mario Draghi PBOC Beijing narrative, like something big has to happen to solve what is significant. This is the biggest property impairment the world's ever seen, and it has to be addressed some way. But having said all of that, again, it's all about that certainty and policy. They need to start from a low base and create that. And then with the opening up of mainland China, let's look at the template coming out of Japan, much smaller, completely different economy for obvious reasons. But the opening up of Japan is a smaller template of what will be happening in mainland China when they do decide to really open up sometime next year.
How attractive is Japan? We've also got that incredibly weak yen.
Yeah, it's always attractive. It's just it's generally a safe haven to not go too underweight, Juliet, not go too overweight. But nevertheless, Japan is attractive in the reopening narrative, particularly from October, November this year. It is an attractive place to be. And a lot of funds that have been investing in Asia have been using more and more Japan, and at the bottom end, Australia, New Zealand, for the dividend to compensate for what's been going on in China and those linked to China earnings.
I take it you raised some cash over the past couple of months looking for the right opportunity. Where will you deploy them with the most feverish aggression?
Yes, the cash was quite high in the June quarter, and about 10-15% has been deployed in July and August, and so far in September. But that's been deployed coming out of that sell-off into energy. So for even our global portfolio, so Woodside, because of the Woodside global portfolio, is 50% LNG. So we're looking, maintaining that overweight. Looking at global financials, US dollar base, so you get JP Morgan's in there. We put Macquarie Bank in that bucket for what it's worth, because of the diversification of earnings right across their business units and the compelling valuations across the Macquarie business units. Anything looking for M&A and opportunity with big cash flow, so that puts BHP Rio into that basket. An opportunity there. But basically that LNG play has been a bigger contributor, and some diversified financials, US dollar base. We still like the US dollar narrative. And for the 2 cents worth for those out there, we look at the S&P 500 range for the year ahead as a 4,400, 3,900. So we're towards that bottom end of that range. Again, there's some headwinds there, but the more predictability for those earnings in the year ahead, despite some risks, we think it's on balance quite reasonable.
George, thank you, and enjoy Singapore. George Baboris, Executive Director, Head of Research at K2 Asset Management, with us in our Singapore studio.